Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Today, you're going to be invited into an eternal new beginning. And you are going to be invited to come into the light. John 3:22 to 36 today. So let's begin in verse 22 today. John writes this. After this, after what? After the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. After this, Jesus and his disciples, they went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because water was plentiful there. If you're going to baptize, you got to have some water. And people were coming and being baptized, just like we're going to do in a couple of weeks. For John had not yet been put in prison, talking about John the Baptist. Verse 25, now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. Now, what we know about baptism is it is a physical symbol. We'll put a hot tub up here. It is a physical symbol. People will walk in and they will begin to share the story of what God has done internally inside of them. And so baptism is a symbol, a physical symbol that says there is a purification that has taken place on the inside through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and through the Holy Spirit that God sends to live inside of us. Now look at verse 26. Now they came to John, and here's what they said to him. Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing. A person cannot receive even one thing. Let me say that again. A person cannot receive even one thing. I think I should say that again, because I want you to get this. A person, who would that be? You. You cannot receive one thing in your entire life unless it is given to you from heaven. Whether or not you acknowledge God gave it to you, whether or not you believe in Jesus, everything good about your life is from heaven. And God wants you to give your life to Jesus Christ so you can go to the place where all the good of your life originated. And God wants you to know that not only does he have good things for you. And by the way, this is not a good place. Earth is not a good place. It is a fallen place. But God sends good things to this fallen earth so that we may know that one day he's not just going to give us good things. He's going to give us a good place. And that's what heaven is. Heaven is the connection between the good that God does in your life here and the good place that he has created for you for all of eternity. And he wants you to have an eternal new beginning today that says, on this earth, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to see the good that God has done in my life, and I am going to live in a direction of faith in Jesus Christ that promises me an eternal good home. Now look at John chapter 3, verse 27. I want to read this to you in the original language in which it was spoken, which is the Greek. The New Testament was originally written in Greek and then translated into English. Believe it or not, I know this is going to be a shock to you. Jesus didn't speak English. Did you know that? Jesus was not an American. Did you know that? Jesus actually spoke Aramaic and he spoke Greek. And the New Testament records that in Greek language. So look at verse 27. Apa krenthe, oenes. John answered, Kai, and Epain said. Now I want you to see these two letters, O-U, at the end of that first sentence. These two little letters, O-U, means not. That's it. Just means not. And then the next word on the second line there, the Greek text, is dunatai, which means ability, power, or capability. And then the word after that, anthropos, is the Greek word for humanity. It doesn't just refer to men, males. Anthropos means humanity. And so what is happening in this passage is John answers and says, no one has the ability. No one has the ability to what? Lambanine, to receive. I want you to understand something. What I'm getting ready to tell you, you're not good enough to earn. And what I'm getting ready to tell you, you ready? You will never be good enough to earn. And so what I'm offering to you today is not something that you can go, I will receive that once I'm worth something, once I'm worthy of it, once I'm good enough. God says, you don't understand. You're not good enough to receive it, and you will never be good enough. And the problem is, you ready? The problem is you. You are the problem. You stand in the way of the goodness and the gifts of goodness that God has for your life. Do you understand that? You go, I'm a pretty good person. Well, I'll talk to the people you live with. None of us are as good as we think we are. We all fall short of the glory of God. And I want you to understand that God's got some goodness for you that you can't earn. And God has some goodness for you. God has some gifts he wants to give you. You'll never be able to earn. Do you know how much God loves you? He knows how horrible you are. And he wants to give you goodness. He wants to love you. He wants to pour out his goodness on you. You don't need to earn it. And by the way, you can't. And so these two little letters, O-U, don't just mean not. They mean never. And I want you to understand that. You do not have the ability, dunatai. You are not capable, and you will never be capable of meriting the goodness and the gifts that God wants to just freely give you. You go, then what do I have to do? We're going to see. But I want you to understand that it's not the doing that causes you to receive. It's the recognizing who he is and what he wants to do for you. Amen? So no one is able to receive, has the ability or the power. And then look at this last part, udain aeon me a dedomenon. Not one thing, unless it is what? Granted. Do you know what it means to grant something? our youngest, Journey Grace, is getting ready to go off to college in the fall, and she's been looking into grants. Do you know what that means? It means something that is given to you that you don't have to give back. Do you understand that God wants to give you goodness? He wants to bless you. He wants to pour out gifts on your life. He is far kinder to you than you are to yourself. He's got more blessings for you than you could ever selfishly imagine for yourself. And then look at this last part, alto ek tu, uranu. That word uranu, you know what that word is? Heaven. 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 Not one thing unless it's granted to them out of heaven. Do you understand that baptism comes from heaven? And God wants to give you the gift of baptism. And it is a gift that comes out of heaven, and with it comes all the blessings, all the favor, all the approval, all the identification that Jesus received at the point in which he was baptized. So look at James 1:17. This is the brother of Jesus. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I want to encourage you, look around in your life. See anything good? Okay, look behind you. See anything good? Look below you. See anything good? Look above you. See anything good? Yeah. It all came from God. It all came from God. Oh, no, no. No, I had something to do with it. Yes, like a two-year-old helping someone mow the yard. You had something to do with it. That's right. You were there. Yes, you were there. You were there. Do you understand that God wants to bless your life? That is his desire. That's his wish. That's his will. See, the Pharisees, they thought that their goodness created blessing. I want you to think about this. The religious experts of Jesus' day, the Pharisees, they thought that their goodness created blessing. And so when someone looked at their life and said, oh, you're so blessed. Yes, let me tell you what I did to be so blessed. That's a Pharisee. That's a Pharisee. You say, well, then what does God want me to do? Only God can create blessing. That's the point of this passage. Only God can create blessing. You say, does God not want to reward or bless obedience? Yes. But your obedience does not create blessing. You say, then what does it do? Your obedience opens the door for blessing in your life, for God to pour out more blessings on your life, but it is his goodness that created the blessing. Does that make sense? And so God wants to pour out goodness on your life, not because you're all that, but because he's all that. Amen? That's who God is. That's who God the Father is. Now, John addresses the baptism gift. Baptism is not because people are good. It's because God is good. Look at verse 28. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ. This is John the Baptist talking. But I've been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. So the bride's the church. The bridegroom is Jesus. The one who has the church is Jesus. The friend of the bridegroom, that's us, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. So we're getting ready to read a statement that is extremely important to this process. Look at John. Chapter 3, verse 30. He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. I must decrease. Now look at John 3:30, the Greek text. I want you to hear these words, and then I want to translate this for you into a different English form. Eknon de aux on ein. Eme de elepu sethai. You say, bless you, brother, right? That's a curious statement. And I unpack this statement, and here's what it is saying if you just translate it as is. Him, it behooves to increase. Him, Jesus. Him, it behooves to increase. Me, however, decrease. Him, it behooves to increase. Who do it behoove? Guess who? You. If Jesus increases in your life, guess who benefits? You. But here's what has to happen. For Jesus to increase, you know what has to happen? You have to decrease. You have to get over yourself. You have to stop being full of yourself. You've got to get out of the way of yourself. And so here's what I said to the Lord during the communion time in my heart. I said, Lord, forgive me for the areas in my life where it has taken me so long to get out of my own way. And when I get out of my own way, isn't it amazing? When Jesus increases in my life, when I decrease and he increases, I win. You win. You are greatly blessed by the Lord. You are greater blessed by the Lord. You find, for example, in your marriage, you say to yourself, you know what? If my husband would just. No. Now here's the thing. If you will decrease, if the two of you will decrease and Jesus increases, you'll fall more in love with each other. Yeah. You say, well, you know, I just want to be a better parent. No. Don't spend the rest of your life being a better you. Okay? You go, no. Don't spend the rest of your life being a better you. Spend the rest of your life being more like him. You say, how do I do that? You get out of the way. You stop making it about yourself. You stop making it about your offenses and your injustices and all the ways in which everybody has wronged you. And you stop thinking about all the ways that your spouse should be, you know, you pick it. And see, the enemy is filling you with all of this garbage to try to get you not to empty yourself of yourself. But the more you empty yourself of yourself, and the more that Christ is filled in you, amazingly so, your behoovement gets increased. Your blessing gets increased. And so where in your life do you need to stop making it about you? And you need to say, Lord, I'm going to decrease so you can increase. What do you want? What do you want? And the Lord says, yeah, Lord, but that's gonna be difficult to do, and that might be embarrassing, and that might be hard, and people might... No, you don't understand. If you'll get out of the way, if you'll stop spending your life thinking what everybody else thinks about you and spend more time thinking about him and how you can get more of him in your life, you will become a happier person. You say, well, where do I need to start? Here's where you need to start. Well, if I just had a wife. Then my life would be perfect. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. No, because you'd screw it up. Jesus is trying to give you himself, and you don't want him. But you think if you had an imperfect wife, everything would be perfect. And see, if you'll decrease and receive more of him, then he'll eventually give you all this other stuff, but all this other stuff will just be enhanced by an extension of him filling himself in you. And regardless, honestly, of how it all works out, you and him will be the happiest you'll ever be. You'll ever be. You'll ever be. The more I get out of the way, and the more Jesus works through me, the more others see Jesus through me, and the more I win because of that. So how do we experience this new eternal beginning? Number one, you acknowledge your life's about Jesus, not yourself. Ain't about me. It ain't about me. You focus on Jesus, it brings happiness between you and your spouse, between you and your family. So here's the question. Are you decreasing in your life? You say, what do you mean? It's not about you. Can you keep doing what you're doing and go, you know what? It's less about me. I can keep doing that. And you know what's funny is, and this is one thing I love about getting older, if you keep doing things, you begin to realize, I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it to be about me. I get to be a part of this, and it gets to be more and more about Jesus. So where in your life are you growing in your selflessness? Where in your life is God saying to you, I want you, Kelly, to be more selfless here? Where is that? Where is that? And do you know sometimes when you have broken relationships, I was thinking about this in the first service, but I didn't say it. You know when you have broken relationships in your life and you reach a point where you realize that it had something to do with your selfishness? And then you want to run and fix it. And God says, no, don't want you to fix it. I want you to wait. Yeah, Lord, but I'll feel so much better if I go fix it. Right, and it'll still be about you. It'll still be about you. Yeah, but if I go fix it, they'll know I'm such a wonderful person. Yes, it will still be about you. Do you understand that sometimes broken relationships are your chance to get your relationship with Jesus right for the first time? And you don't have to bow down and worship the idol of human relationship. You bow down and worship the divine relationship of the holy God, Jesus himself. I love this next verse. Look at verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. And he who comes from earth is above all. Now, I want you to see very briefly, and I'll be quick about this, but I want you to see in verse 31. In that second line, because that first line says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. In that second line, ha on ek tes geis. What does geis sound like to you? Kind of sounds like gas to me, you know? I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock, and I was like, oh, great. And I always say, you know what? When you wake up early, it's either God or gas, all right? So you take care of one, you can go back to bed and go back to sleep, and I lay there, and it's like, turns out it was God. So I get up, and I sit there in my seat, coffee, Bible, looking out a dark window. And I feel the futility of this world. And I pray and I say, Lord, I don't want to feel the futility of this gaze. of this earth. And guess what happened? Nothing. You say, what did you feel? More futility. I think I felt your futility. I think I felt what you feel about your life and your relationships and your disappointments and your sorrows. I don't think I just felt mine, because you say, well, how have you learned that you're not just feeling yours? The way I've learned as a pastor is I can't think of something that's causing me to feel something in my life. And so I go, well, it must be somebody else's life that I'm feeling this for. That's called intercession. That's what prayer is. When you feel someone else's futility. And so I sat there and I did my devotions and I read the story of Joseph in Genesis 31:40, and I thought about all the futility of his life. All the gaze, all the gas. Yeah, all the things. And then all of a sudden, I get a text from Pastor John Ellsbury, and he said, the Lord woke me up at 2:28 and told me to pray for you. I meditated on the book of Jude, and the Lord told me to tell you, be courageous and say what he's told you to say. I said, well, John, why couldn't you have texted me 2 hours ago? Do you understand that God wants you to sit in your futility? Because when you sit in your futility and you discover what this earth is really like, then you can say to the Lord, I need the one that is above all. That's what I need. I don't need this earth's gas. I need God. I need God. I need God. And what's interesting about this passage, it says, and the one who is out of the earth is, well, isn't that profound? And out of the earth speaks. And what he's saying is that what you want? Do you want just what's here on the earth? And do you want just the earth to speak? Because some people do. Some people, New Age, they worship the earth. Oh, speak, Mother Earth. No, not me. Oh, speak, Heavenly Father. Speak. And see, when you ask the Heavenly Father to speak, he talks back. When you ask Mother Earth to speak, demons talk to you. And then you bring those things into your life. Don't. You'll regret it. You'll regret it. See, here's what the point of this passage is. Jesus transcends all of us. He's not from here. Like if you were to hear him talk, you'd walk up and go, you ain't from here, are you? He ain't. He ain't. So how do we experience an eternal new beginning? Number two, you declare Jesus' greatness transcends you. Know your place. Know your place. Humility is the gateway to more grace. Humility is the gateway to more grace. Look at verse 32. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. So how do we experience this eternal new beginning? Number three, you set your seal on Jesus as God. You set your seal on Jesus as God. You know, when you graduate from an institution, they give you a piece of paper, right? And what do? They put a seal on it. And when they put the seal on the piece of paper, it becomes a diploma. Do you understand that when you decide to set your seal on Jesus as God, God stamps you with his spirit. He gives you his confidence. I don't need to have confidence in myself. No, no. No, I don't need self-confidence. I need the confidence God has in me. And when I have the confidence that God has in me, guess what? I don't need to look at myself to see if I can do something. I simply say to the Holy Spirit, you've set your seal on me. I have confidence you can do this through me. Look at verse 34. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without what? How much? Without measure. Do you remember when you were a kid and, you know, maybe you're at a carnival and, you know, you're going to go play some games or ride some rides, and you say to your dad, hey, Dad, I'm going to go do these things. And your dad says the really important question, well, how much do you need? Oh. Listen, however much you need, God's got more. God's got more. You go, I don't know if I can do this. That's your problem. You still think you can do it. You got to get out of the way. God can do this through me. You got to change the way you talk to yourself. Some of you talk to yourselves like it's up to you. It ain't up to you. You go, I don't know, it's up to me to save this man. No, it ain't. No, it's not. It's up to God. So God, how are you going to work through me to save this? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do this, God? I'm going to partner with you. I'm the two-year-old helping you mow the yard. You got unlimited resources. You got unlimited abilities. Do you know that if God points, he provides? If God points, he provides. He gives his Spirit without measure. So how do we experience an eternal new beginning? Number four, you trust him to give you the Spirit without measure. You go, I need more grace. Ask for it. I need more peace. Ask for it. And then wait for it. And then watch for it. It's going to happen. It's going to occur. Trust him to give you the Spirit without measure. Verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, it remains on him. Wow. Wow. How do we experience this eternal new beginning? Number five, you obey Jesus by believing in him. You obey him by believing in him. Somebody stopped me after the 9 o'clock. Yeah, that's my problem right there. Number five, I still sin. I go, did you read number five? Obey Jesus by believing in him. It doesn't say obey Jesus by being sinless. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says obey Jesus by believing in him. God has called us. There's only one sin that there is no forgiveness for. It's the sin of unbelief in Jesus. If you decide Jesus ain't got what I need, you got no hope. But if you decide Jesus is what you need, you got more hope than you're going to know what to do with. You got more grace. God's got more that he's wanting to pour out on your life. He wants you to come into the light. But to come into the light, here's the statement. If you want God to increase in your life, you've got to first decrease. You've got to decide that it's no longer about you. You've got to decide that it's no longer up to you. You've got to decide that you don't have to fake it till you make it. You've got to acknowledge you ain't ever going to be able to make it. And when you begin to do these things, what happens is you decrease. You decrease. You decrease. Well, how'd you think you did? I don't know. How did God think I did? So you got to change every question you ask yourself. Every statement you make to yourself has to be filtered through what God thinks, what God does, what God wants, not you. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, it's easy. The burden's light. You go, well, then why does it feel so heavy? Because you're the one trying to carry it. Are you partnering with him by recognizing he's in charge? When I say partner, I mean loosely two-year-old mowing yard with dad. That's what I mean by partnership. And when you can get to that place, and you can trust him with your life, then all of a sudden, things begin to open up. Things begin to change. And all of a sudden, peace begins to take place, take root. Happiness begins to return. Joy begins to fill the presence of your life. And futility has to flee, because the light is greater than the darkness. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the Vanguard Central podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.